Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the deep dive. I'm Chris Paydack, that man to my right hand side, as you see it. On the left of me is Josh Williams. I forgot your name then when I was trying to do that. I don't know why I didn't just end it after to the right-hand side of me. Why did I have to say to the left if you're looking through the screen? It doesn't matter. Shut up.
You're just going to call me Simon Hoover, mate.
You're not bald enough.
To the right of me.
Sorry to any baldies, by the way, watching this. This is not a discriminatory episode in any way, shape or form. And the views are not mine or Josh's. They're the views of Red Men TV. No, I'm kidding. It's just unfair for every bald person that is good in the world that all the referees are bald and bad, to be honest with you. But we are here to talk about the VAR and what the fallout could be from that and why we think that Liverpool could get better because of this as well. Because everybody's talked about it, but Josh, I haven't really heard your thoughts and feelings. Everybody's kind of heard my thoughts and feelings on VAR over the last, 72 hours, give or take. Now, it has been just, it's been a ridiculous few days, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's depressing.
I'm glad you're up for a chat anyway.
How many days has it been since it happened?
Sunday, Monday, 2-3 days.
Yeah, well, my timeline is still packed full of VAR discussion, referees, are they going to release the audio, are they not? It's so annoying because, like, from my perspective, I hate talking about referees. I hate it, mate. I deliberately speak about performance and matters to do with, like, what happens on the pitch between the players, basically the things that Klopp can control or attempt to control, at least. In terms of a referee who has a massive impact on the result, by the way, just through his own decision-making, if he wants to decide to give a penalty, massive impact on the result. If he wants to decide to give a red card out or two, massive impact on the result, despite preparing all week, you know, your team and your starting lineup and your tactics and everything. So I deliberately go out my way to just not talk about them ever because you can't control them. You can't have an impact on them. But in this game in particular, mate, just seeing how much of an influence they had and how impossible it was for Liverpool to get anything by the end was just really disheartening. Like Klopp swimming against the tide, trying to change his tactics and that to find a way to get something from the game. And it gets to a point where it's impossible, and even despite all that, he nearly did escape with a point.
There was nearly a masterclass in there. We'll go through the team that Jürgen put out right now, and you know, obviously Alisson Becker, who was just sensational on the day. Joe Gomez, Joel Matip, Virgil van Dijk. We had Andy Robertson, who played McAllister with Szoboszlai and Jones, Salah, Gakpo up front with Diaz over on that left hand side. So we'll kind of look at the impact that the referee and the VAR referee and the assistant VAR referee have had on this game. So chronologically, I suppose it was Curtis's red card that really changed the game. But how, before the red card, how did you think it was going for Liverpool? Because it's kind of been lost in all of this.
Yeah, I thought it was going quite well. I thought we were doing well in the game, and Spurs so far this season are averaging the most shots of any team. About 19 a game, I think they were averaging. And by the time,
that's up now.
Yeah, it's up now, yeah. But by the time Curtis Jones got sent off, they had posted one shot at that in about half an hour.
One really good chance as well, though, that never ended up with a shot, when it was the ball fizz pass from Robbo. Really good. That was probably their best chance, and yet Robbo did brilliantly there, didn't he, of course?
Yeah. At the opposite end, Liverpool had taken 8 shots. And I think we were, I think they were escaping through the build-up quite a bit, but we were also winning the ball quite a bit, and you could tell we were going punch for punch. And I think if you look at both sides, we had the attacking firepower, especially to kind of go punch for punch with them. I thought we were going to score first. We did score first, got ruled out.
But later.
Yeah, even the Jones tackle, I thought, I mean, should we touch on that now or not?
Yeah.
Even the Jones tackle, mate, I thought was, I can see, don't get me wrong, why it was given as a red. And I can see why your typical Coventry fan or something thinks it's a red as well. But yep. I found it frustrating simply because his foot rolls over at the ball, you know, which I think is unfair before connecting with the man. And B, when the referee goes and looks at the VAR monitor, he sees a still of essentially Curtis Jones trying to murder a player.
Yep.
It looks awful. And it weren't like that, was it? Come on. It was the kind of game where, like, up until that point, it was so entertaining. Two heavyweights going blow for blow.
NBA
and that
is how people have described it to me. You know,
One end, other end. Yeah, it was a proper game, mate. It was a proper, like, spectacle. And I think it had the makings of being one of the best games of the season. And I think when that's the case, if you're the referee, if I was a ref, I would feel an obligation to kind of do what I can to let both teams decide who the winner is, not me. You know what I mean? If I have to give out a red, sound. But if I don't give it out then. Let the teams play each other. Let them determine who deserves to win. But by playing centre stage and giving out a red after half an hour, it ruined the game for me. I was gutted because I thought it was going to be a belter.
We're live for the first time on a deep dive on YouTube and Keenan Kadribasic. Oh my God, sorry. I butchered your name there, mate. You might as well start doing our lineups with 10 red dots on the board, considering our luck, or even 9, lol, up the reds, which I thought was quite interesting. Now, the Curt Jones one's really interesting. It obviously changes the game, but, you know, you've spoken a little bit about it then, Josh, and how you felt that it rolled over the ball. And Liverpool, we now know, have appealed that decision. And Matt Ladsden, one of the founders of thisisanfield.com, was tweeting about it, and it seems that the reason for Liverpool trying to get this overturned, of course, is based on the VAR trying to influence the referee's decision because, and we'll quote from the rules here, and there's nothing to show on screen, so the VAR can check the footage in normal speed and or in slow motion, but in general, slow motion replays should only be used for facts, e.g. position of offence slash player, point of contact for the physical offences and a handball, ball out of play, including goal or no goal. Normal speed should be used for the intensity of an offence or to decide if it was a handball offence. So it seems that Liverpool are appealing on the fact that he was led to his decision by a still image showing Curt Jones on the Tottenham player's leg.
Yeah.
So that's changed the game, and we now think that might have been fudged so that the referee came to his decision the way that he did. In terms of what Liverpool did then, though, they went to the tried and tested this season 4-4-1 formation. Mm. So Robertson stayed on the left, Van Dijk, Joe Matip, Joe Gomez. We took McAllister, and as we're now used to, Szoboszlai, sorry, going into a two-man midfield. We moved Diaz over to the left-hand side, Cody Gakpo to the right-hand side, and we threw Mo Salah up top. Now, was it interesting to you just how dangerous Liverpool were with this 4-4-1 formation?
Yeah, it was. But I think that's a product of just the kind of forwards Klopp has recruited over the past couple of years and how much of an emphasis he's placed on speed, basically. And, you know, this transition game that he's always been famous for, counter-attacks and things like that. If you look at the lads that we had and the lads that we've got at the club, to be honest, you think of Salah, Gakpo, Jota, Nunes, Diaz, even Sadio Mane, all players who would be a nightmare for anyone 1v1, players who can carry the ball over large distances, counter-attacking players. So I thought it was an interesting dynamic, actually. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to enjoy it, to be honest, because we could still get up the pitch, we could still pose a threat. Szoboszlai, by the way, absolute engine. Robertson, engine, mate, that the pair of them covered so much ground. And when you've got players who can do that, in attack at times, it felt like we were still attacking with 11, even though we obviously weren't. I think the problem was, defensively, we could no longer press Spurs really high up the pitch, because if you've got one-man disadvantage, it's hard enough pressing anyway when you've got an even team, never mind pressing when there's guaranteed to be a free man somewhere.
Yeah, you think about the pure numbers of it. Ordinarily speaking, Liverpool will press maybe with three or a fourth person from midfield, but there's always four defenders.
Hmm.
You know, and you're trying to press four of them with three guys for the most part, and you just can't do that with two players, can you? You almost have to split the side of the pitch off, and that's almost impossible with two.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it was just interesting, the curious little quirk of moving Gakpo and Salah and getting them to swap places, obviously putting Salah as like the tip of the spear, because Liverpool are going to be counter-attacking very quickly, probably through the centre. He's going to be the man, potentially finishing the move. Whereas I think Gakpo was playing a bit further from goal because he's just not as, he's a bit more of a feeder, isn't he?
Yeah, so, he's not quite as fast. I don't think he's quite as strong as Mo, who we know can, is used to those challenges from the centre halves and stuff like that, can take a ball down from nowhere, continue to get forwards, get you 20 yards further up the pitch, maybe win a free kick, maybe get a free kick given you against you for no reason. These are all things that we know that Mo can do. So it kind of made sense. What didn't make sense for me, though, was Gakpo on the right. I probably would have changed that quite soon.
And put him on the left, you mean?
No, changed him out. Yeah, and I think that, look, I think we were probably going to see that at some point during the course of the afternoon, but obviously you can't argue with the fact that he doesn't end up getting a goal. And I do think he's really good in that position as well. So
yeah.
It was really interesting, and again, it's something that we've seen. Like, I find it really interesting, this McAllister-Szoboszlai thing, because obviously we've seen Dom go into the middle of the park a couple of times. The first game, McAllister went missing. But that's a hell of a two-man midfield, by the way.
Yeah, it's very offensive-minded. And if you look at the group that Liverpool have got there, the 11 players, it's a very attacking group. The 10 players. It's a very attacking group to be playing with a one-man handicap. You know what I mean? So, but I think it was interesting that, like, if you exclude, you know, the front line, it's your basic two banks of four,
yeah.
which even if you've got a man sent off, two banks of four, mate, are virtually guaranteed to be difficult to break down if you do it in an organised way. So that was where, like, Liverpool kind of got their strength from. And because of the mobility of Robertson and Szoboszlai,
and Gomez got forwards as well.
Yeah, and Gomez, yeah. And the speed and counter-attacking ability of Gakpo, Salah and Diaz, we still really posed a threat very often. The only issue was, I think, the only issue in which the kind of emerge was the difference is if you're defending with a 4-4-2, obviously you've got two players like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if a Spurs player picks up the ball here, this man will take care of him. Spurs man picks up the ball there, this man will take care of him. If you've only got one, then you can kind of use the space either side of him. And if you think of where Maddison gets his main assist,
yeah,
it wasn't an assist, was it? It was a pre-assist, but he picks up the ball around here, uses the space that is kind of like uncertain for Liverpool. I mean, amazing pass, breaks the lines of Liverpool's midfield and defence in one goal. Feeds
Richarlison.
Is it Richarlison, yeah? And he feeds Son. And to be fair, it's a great goal. But that was the one kind of issue, that was the one attack and move that Spurs generated that stemmed from Liverpool being a man down. And, you know, if you're playing with a 4-4-2, that kind of probably would have happened, you know, and maybe would have stopped Maddison from benefiting from so much space. But we suffered from that a little bit. But then we went up the opposite end before our time, and Gakpo scores.
Absolutely. You know, I find it really interesting. I was looking at, like, the shot maps and stuff like that from the game, Josh, and I realised that in the penalty area, shots from Tottenham, 9, from Liverpool, 7. So when we went down to this bank of four, obviously they did have, you know, 8 shots from inside the area. By the way, there was a cluster of them in sort of, I don't know whether you can see this because of my laptop, and just sort of this area of like 3 or 4 shots, not in a great area. Liverpool did a great job in ensuring that they didn't get into this area of the field here,
yeah,
which is the most dangerous area to shoot from. And that was because of those two banks of four. And Liverpool themselves had 7 shots from inside the area. Tottenham only 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, we played for 10 men from, what was it, 30 minutes, something like that, 26 minutes.
Mm.
And then we obviously went down to 9 men. You would expect them to be able to work it in, but there were so many shots from this area here where we'd press back. All of our players had dropped back in, and they were just pot shots from out here, which Alisson was just sort of lapping up. So there's one thing that I took real encouragement from in this game, and from every game where we've gone down to 10 men just so far this season, is the fact that Liverpool can defend. Like, and it's, you know, we went into this game with the joint best defence in the league, by the way, because City had already lost.
Mm.
In terms of goals conceded, which again gets overlooked. It's not there now. I think it's maybe the second best defence in the league in terms of goals conceded, because I think we've conceded 7 now in 7 games or something like that. So, and I think Manchester City might be 6, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just checking the underlying numbers, actually. Just to see how we look in that sense.
But in terms of actually when Liverpool choose to defend, this was kind of my point, is Liverpool can defend. When we choose to allow teams to attack us down that right-hand side, that is a choice that we make to be better in attack.
Yeah.
But we chose to defend. We can fucking defend against a very, very good Tottenham Hotspur side.
Yeah. I mean, is this the third time this season that we've went down to 10 minutes?
Yeah. Four red cards now, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, in all of those games, when we've retreated into this kind of compact block, we've looked really difficult to break down. And I honestly think if we'd have kept the 10 men for the rest of the game, I think we'd have gone on and won it, I really do. But obviously we ended up going down to 9, but when we form them two banks of four and we don't afford any space behind our defence, which is what most teams benefit from when they're playing Liverpool, they benefit from that space in transition, usually behind Trent and things like that. When we can't completely rule that out by playing completely differently, like a Mourinho side or something like that, very difficult to break down. And you've got two absolute monsters, by the way, in Alisson and Van Dijk, who are just naturals when it comes to that side of the game. Like, obviously they're very good at playing in an attacking way as well, but if you're sitting as part of a defensive block, Van Dijk just heads everything away, clears everything. Alisson catches everything. Anything from distance, he's just going to beat away easily.
Or just catch. Pull out from thin air.
Yeah. Or just kick away and get an assist from it or something like that. But yeah, I think Liverpool, I've got the makeup to play in that way if we need to. And I think, to be honest, the next time we go down to 10 men, which will probably happen next week, I think we'd... As supporters, I'm almost getting a bit more confident.
Yeah, absolutely.
Liverpool,
you know what to do.
We're still in this, yeah. We're still in this. Whereas there's been, personally in the past, I think as soon as you go down to 10 men, any team, you're ruined, it's over. But with Liverpool this season, that hasn't been the case.
No, it hasn't. And obviously, you know, I want to talk through this chronologically. And, you know, before we concede our goal, really, you know, we go 1-0 up. Now, what was the real interesting thing, and probably the thing that stuck with everybody, I suppose, who has watched football all their life, like most of us, is that I've never seen a goal not been given before. I've seen contentious decisions not go your way, but I've never seen a goal, a genuine factual goal, not translate to 1-0 on the scoreline at 0-0. And that's, I think, the thing that most people have kind of got the bee in the bonnet about at the moment, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, it is actually funny when you think about it. When you put it like that, mate, it's genuinely funny, because, like, this is what we're all so bothered about, and this is what a lot of opposition fans don't seem to be getting. Like, a lot of opposition fans seem to be comparing it to subjective decisions or harsh decisions or whatever. Like, this, that should have been a penalty 2 years ago, or, you know, this fella on board last...
What about this?
Yeah,
what
exactly
about that?
Exactly. This is one
what
of the...
about that time when there was actually a goal and it never went 1-0? That's what we're talking about.
Exactly. This is...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A really unprecedented incident where, like, we actually scored a goal. The referees actually said, yeah, it's a goal, but then just didn't give us it. And then we kept
it's fucking stupid.
It's absolutely mad when you think about it. It's insane, mate. It's never happened before as far as I'm aware. Like,
no.
For the referees to all go, yeah, goal, like, yeah. Nil-nil.
it's mad.
It's absolutely mad. So, yeah, to kind of... And you're already down to 10 men, by the way. Later in the game, even though they know this, even though they know that they've just denied us a perfectly legitimate goal, he decides
to give us... Did he give us the goal or not?
He decides to give us another red, though, on the back of that. Yeah. Like, some referees would think, hang on a minute, these scored a goal half an hour ago and we didn't give them it. I could send this lad off here, but it's a bit harsh, you know. I'll let them off just to level the game out a bit. But he was like, nah, it's a red. He's going off.
I don't disagree with the second yellow, by the way, Josh. I think it was a fucking butthead decision to dive in.
I agree.
I have a big problem with the first yellow card.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, watching your man there trip over himself and sit on the floor asking for a yellow card, by the way, for Jota. Which is a yellow card offence, and he was on a yellow card at the time. I have a major issue with that one.
It's just awful, isn't it? It's really bad.
But then we know Liverpool went into this unbelievable. And actually, at this point, Jota was getting sent off. This is the crux of this show, I think, more than anything, because we were just about to change it. And again, we at the deep dive here at Red Men, we want to look into the tactics and things like that. Now, quite often, that is what did Klopp do. But in this instance, Josh, it's what was Klopp going to do?
Yeah.
Because we saw Nunes looking absolutely resplendent in red on the bench, stripped off and ready to go. We saw Trent stripped off and ready to go. Now, you got Gakpo, you got Szoboszlai, McAllister, Diaz, Mo Salah. Gomez was probably straight on off for Trent, maybe.
Mm.
Or was there another option?
I think Diaz would have come off for Nunes. And I think Salah would have probably gone on the flanks.
The right.
Yeah, I think.
Why Gakpo? Why not Gakpo? Why Diaz?
Gakpo was off at this point, wasn't he?
He was injured half time. It was Jota, you're right, sorry. Yeah,
Jota was on. So unless you're subbing off a sub, which is a bold move, I don't think he's taking Salah off.
You're absolutely
so
right.
I think he brings Nunes on.
So Nunes goes, if the sending off doesn't happen, we'll just move them a little bit further up the field. Nunes goes straight up top. Salah goes right hand side.
Yeah.
Jota moves left hand side. Is it Trent for Gomez?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Trent's probably, it could have been for one of them, it could have been for McAllister, to be honest. But in fact, it might have been, you know, thinking about it. Like, you're so compressed, you've got Joe Gomez, who's a proper defender. McAllister was knackered, you know, covering lots of ground on his own. So it could have been for McAllister, and then Trent.
I would have loved to have seen Trent knock balls over the top of the midfield there, mate.
I know. I'm so gutted we didn't get to see it, you know.
Because that could have been a Klopp masterclass.
Again. Like a couple of weeks after the last one. And I think Nunes especially, like when Nunes come up on the screen, I was watching the game in town, and when Nunes come up on the screen, there was a noise in the boozer. Everyone was kind of like, this is it, this is where we're going
you
for.
You mean the pub didn't stand up and go, Nunes, Nunes?
It wasn't quite that, no, but it was kind of a bit like, this is it now. This is Klopp pressing the red button and saying, this is where we go for it
so
now.
So you weren't in the Wetherspoons, were you?
No, I wasn't. But yeah, I think Nunes is kind of, because of what he did against Newcastle so recently, he's kind of the poster boy now of when Liverpool are playing with 10 men, he goes and wins us the game. And we were introducing him at exactly the same time that we introduced him against Newcastle. And we were going for him. And I think the way Spurs were looking, they were looking shaky, out of ideas, a little bit stale. We felt up against the world. I honestly think we would have won the game. I really do. But that's based on not enough to be on a deep dive.
No, maybe not. But there is something from Rhys Allen, who I think has got a good point here. The sub was on a yellow, to be fair, so maybe he was going to take Jota off.
Yeah, I thought that. Possible. Definitely possible, yeah, but it is embarrassing, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for Jota, it's not a good look at all, and it's one of the worst things that can happen in football. It's not something that makes a big deal of course.
It was a bad cameo, though. It was an awful cameo.
He was not good, like, he was definitely not good. I mean,
Klopp didn't even look at him, you know, when he came off.
I'm not surprised.
He shook Jones' hand on that and hugged Jones when Jones went off, but with Jota, it was just like, no.
The funny thing is, right, there is a scenario, and I don't think it works with the players we had available to us, but like, I wonder what Trent would have been like there.
Yeah, well,
because of Salah and Nunes being on the pitch. I mean, Nunes could. No, not in a 10-man team on the left-hand side.
No.
But like, Trent there would have been Trent, Sobber, Sly, McAllister, Diaz.
Yeah.
You couldn't play Salah there, you couldn't play Nunes there. But it would have been interesting to see whether he could have had all three of the passes there.
Yeah, it would have been. The only issue with introducing Trent as an attacker in the team would be Trent, and we will touch on this when we go down to nine men, but Trent obviously can't threaten him behind. So in the way in which we were breaking out of our block and counter-attacking, Trent would be feeding that, obviously, but in terms of being a threat on the break for Spurs to manage, like they were managing Gakpo, Salah, Diaz at one point. If you bring on Trent as a wide player, as like one of the forwards, you've got one, not one less concern to worry about, but one less player who's probably going to be actually running beyond you like a red arrow, you know what I mean? He's going to be behind the ball most of the time, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is one of the few issues I had with Klopp's final set of changes, but are we there yet?
We're nearly there. I've got a super chat from a Tottenham fan, so thank you very much for the £2. Really appreciate you. And I've got a super chat here from Hawks, $25. Thank you so much, Hawks. I'm glad I got up early. Always love the deep dive. So yeah, thanks very much for that one, mate. Really appreciate you. And just Hannah says, I enjoy watching rival fans embarrassing themselves as much as you seem to be, parroting Twitter nonsense, so go ahead. That in relation to the fella who sent us a $1.99 super chat. Also, we've had a gifted 10 gifted subscriptions from Edward Joseph. He's gifted 10 Redmen TV memberships out to people, so thank you very much. And LFC Aaron, laughing at the Spurs fan, says, what a waste of £2.
What is the Spurs fan saying?
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm not giving him satisfaction. Okay, I'm just going to own him, like, and just thank him for his money. Tell him that I'm going to put it towards the replay fund, and then we're going to move on and forget he ever existed. Some lad just blasted his pocket money to say, cry more, the kids of today, says Dave. Oh, the poor lad's been absolutely pants down by everyone in the chat. So, yeah, well done. Unfortunate for you won't be getting your lunch today, will you? So yeah, thank you very much for that one. We'll go on to the last change then. Obviously Gakpo's already picked up his injury. Jota's been sent off. Nunes isn't able to take to the field this time around. We've got to take a number off. What did we do? So now we went for the old 5-3-0 formation that we're so accustomed to seeing here as Liverpool fans. We had Alisson in goal, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Konate, Matip, Virgil van Dijk, Andy Robertson, Big Endo, Szoboszlai and Ryan Gravenberch. And that's probably their average positions, to be fair, with the occasional 4A forward from Big Endo. Szoboszlai, who's just, as you mentioned before, the word is monster, and Ryan Gravenberch. And It's not a system you're used to seeing, I think it's fair to say, Josh.
No, but it made a lot of sense because it just focused on the most important area of the pitch, as in the centre. Blocking the centre and giving them virtually no access to the actual middle of the park, which is where you want to get your shots off. Forced Spurs out wide, took care of Maddison a bit more, because we now had three midfielders to hit. What?
I just can't believe this is what we came to. Look at that. They're all just there. It's ridiculous.
There was a point where Szoboszlai had the ball here and he just shot because he had nobody running beyond him. And this was part of the problem I had a little bit. I could see the logic behind playing for a point because you've got nine men, mate. So it's a bit different than the average game, like, in it. But the only problem I had was, from this moment onwards, we had no threat whatsoever. So we could never escape.
We didn't have a forward on the pitch.
It was constant defending. And I think maybe, tell me if I'm wrong here, but maybe, say, for example, Gravenberch, who came on.
Yeah.
If you bring on Nunes.
You do know that's Endo, though, right?
Well, yeah, any of them. I think if it was Nunes, though, it would have been like this. I think Endo, Szoboszlai, I think Nunes would have been there. Defensively,
you want Nunes in that three?
No, listen, defensively, as part of a no holding player, just as part of a bank of three like that.
Yeah,
but then when Liverpool had the ball, Nunes could have at least gone like that.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And Trent could have found him, though.
But then that's where he'd end up. And he'd stay there. That's the problem, innit?
I know.
This is our 5-2-1 formation set out.
I know, but at least then we could escape every now and then. We could give them something to think about.
You're right, of course.
Like, they just played the whole second half exclusively in this half of the pitch because they had nothing to worry about whatsoever. And I liked in the first half when they did have something to worry about, but at the end of the game, with like 30 seconds left, with the points that we were gaining, at that point I was like, okay, Sam, maybe Klopp got it right. And he did get it right, to be fair, you know, but...
It was brilliant. Like, no one's thinking, let's go to a 5-3. I mean, no one's thinking... The easiest thing probably would have been to go to a 4-4 because you've been in that sort of... But with the personnel grouping, it did mean that Robbo and Trent weren't able to get a little bit further up the field. Unfortunately, the other lads weren't able to get there and stuff like that. But here's the thing, and where I wanted to get to, is we've talked about the tactics, we've talked about all that type of stuff now, but there's a sliding doors moment in this game, I feel, where Liverpool go top of the table and they beat Tottenham Hotspur with 10 men, even, or 11 men, whatever. I still think, I like you, that Liverpool could have won this with 10 men.
And then next week, City play Arsenal, by the way. Just wanted to throw out.
And Rodri's still out.
Yeah.
And after that, I think they've got a tough game Manchester City have as well. So I think Liverpool go top of the table, buoyed by the fact that they'd just beaten Tottenham Hotspur with, for the most part of the game, 10 men. A beautiful goal by Luis Diaz. Mo Salah's record of scoring and assisting in a bazillion games on the bounce is still going because he got the assist for Luis Diaz, the goal that wasn't the goal. And Liverpool feel good about themselves. And this young squad, this midfield group of players, this new group of players without the experience of the Hendersons and the Fabinhos and the people that we've kind of forgotten about, but thank for their time at Liverpool, get to go top of the table and become something else. But the sliding doors moment is, it might just have helped Liverpool. Because now... Josh, Jürgen gets to do siege mentality at us against them. Jürgen's never got to do siege mentality us against them, has he?
Yeah, I was going to say that myself. I've been really impressed with the mentality of the team so far. I felt the whole mentality monsters that was attached to the last team. You're kind of thinking how much of that is because of the culture that's been fostered by Henderson and Milner. But they've both left over the summer, so obviously Klopp's still in charge, but there was question marks as to whether that intensity level, that willingness to, that refusal to lie down would be there again, you know, whether that would come back. But look, it already looks there despite having a completely new squad, really.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that has been really encouraging. I think just based on that alone, almost alongside the fact that Liverpool have picked up a fair few points so far without really still ironing out creases and things like that, I think we can actually have a really good season. I think we can pick up some silverware. I think we can potentially challenge for the title. It's early days to be saying this, but just so impressed with Liverpool in this game. And if you think of how much it took for Liverpool to finally lose, think of how much it took, mate. It took two reds. It took a disallowed, perfectly legitimate goal. It took a last-minute own goal by one of our own players. It took the absolute world, you know, playing away from home against the top four side, really. You know, if that's what it takes to beat this team, you're going to have a good season.
Yeah. You know? And what do you think there is something that Klopp now has got? Like, iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Like, this is fire and hell and brimstone and all this type of stuff. These guys are going through experiences together. Do you think they're going to come out stronger off the back of it?
I hope so, yeah. And I think it's definitely possible. I think, like, going into the next game, you know, you're fired up and things like that. You want to prove things right. A lot of players just naturally, when it kind of goes against them, if it does fire them up. Like, if you think, for example, just off the top of my head, the Xhaka moments with Trent, you know, it completely impacted the rest of the game, the proceedings and that, just because of, like, everyone feeling fired up and feeling almost hard done by or whatever. So I'd hope that it kind of kicks us on and gives us that kind of, that rocket fuel, basically, to go for the rest of the season, feeling like underdogs almost.
Is there going to be a knock-on impact? We've just done a show on redmenplus.com. We do two shows, a deep dive every single week. We've just done one about a preview for Union Saint-Gilloise and Brighton and what the red cards and the injury to Cody Gakpo and stuff means. One thing we didn't discuss Redmenplus.com if you want that, by the way, go over there. You can sign up from $6.99 a month. It's well worth it. We didn't discuss potential fatigue in the players that were going to be asked to go again. Now, there's not going to be many of them. Jota obviously didn't play a full 90. Kurt Jones didn't play a full 90. Is there going to be some build-up of fatigue in the lads who did finish the game, maybe even going as far ahead as Brighton?
Well, I think going back to what I said earlier, the two I'd be most concerned about would probably be Robertson and Sobos. Like, I think that they covered just so much ground and they're so important to us in terms of, like, they just cannot pick up injuries. But then again, they both seem to have absolute engines and never seem to need recharging. So if they can do it, fair play to them. But I think this midweek game, for example, against UniSG, I would keep Robertson out the squad, I think, just to refuse that temptation of using him. And I think Szoboszlai, I would want to do the same with him, but Klopp seems to introduce him around the hour mark in these midweek games just as like a secret weapon to go and take care of the game. And in both games he's done it as well. In both games Liverpool have gone on to win against Leicester and Lask. But I would ideally like us to get through the midweek game without him featuring, to be honest.
No, absolutely. Final sort of thing, obviously at a time of streaming this, anyone who's watching might know a little bit more than us, of course, but the VAR audio files, I believe, have now been given to Liverpool Football Club, which is obviously a good thing that they've been asking for it. I should say the edited audio files, but I won't, because I'm sure they've not been tampered with in any way, shape or form. Josh, you're a real journalist, so you can't say stuff like that. Nope. I can. talking again. We're probably going to hear what the audio says in the next few days. I joke, of course. They won't be edited. They'll just be completely remade. There'd be no point in editing them. It'd just be easier to just get them back in on Monday and do it. We are going to find out what's happened. What do you think of the fallout is going to be of all of this?
I honestly don't know. I'm preparing myself mentally, to be honest, to wear this thing back. I think I'm going to run myself a bath, light a few candles, bottle of wine.
Okay.
And just maybe dry my sorrows, I think. But it's going to be a grim one, I think, and it's not a good look, obviously. It's a terrible look, and it's probably the biggest mistake since VAR has been introduced. I don't want to sound like a biased Liverpool fan, but would you argue with that?
No, I wouldn't argue with that. But I am a bias.
That's very true. But yeah, it's not going to go down well. And obviously, there's been talk of us kind of playing for this replay or rematch or whatever they call it. It's not going to happen, is it? But
no, I don't think Liverpool want a replay. And I don't want a replay anyway, I know that.
I honestly don't know what the answer is. Because you can't just go and sack them all. And you can't go and necessarily just start employing a load of foreign referees thinking that's going to solve it. I'm not sure what the solution is. I really don't know. I don't think the solution either is get rid of VAR, because the issue seems to be the people in charge of it.
Yeah. So I think that what we are going to end up with at some point down the line is that we are going to have the full audio of VAR broadcast during the games. I think that is something that we are going to do.
One thing I do think should be kind of adopted a bit more is this semi-automated system for offsides. For some reason, the Premier League said no to it, even though it was used in the World Cup. If it's semi-automated, surely it's a bit more like goal line technology, where if someone's, it's a bit clearer, essentially, rather than just some fella saying, check complete, and just getting back to his biscuits or whatever he's doing in that VAR room. So I would introduce that. I think the Premier League needs to stop being, like, you know, different to the rest and trying to do it their own way. Just introduce it. If the technology's there and if it's better than what we've currently got, use it.
Absolutely. So there you go. That has been the deep dive. I think we've wronged the rights. We've tried to do that. I think, to be fair, we've done that as straight and narrow as you possibly can. If you want more deep dive, then go and check it out on redmenplus.com. I say we do two of these every single week. One on YouTube for free and one on redmenplus.com. So please go over there. Thank you very much, everyone, watching it live. We'll try and do more of these live ones. Hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget to drop a like on it. And please share the content. It really does help us. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. It's wrong.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.